David's Daily Digital Dollop. Dollop 12. Boy, or Bowie, if you prefer, versus Cameron, or Cameron, if you prefer. It's very contentious, isn't it, Bowie or Boy? I think a lot of people say Boy. It's kind of widely accepted, I believe, but I don't want to ruffle any feathers at this time, so I'm going to keep alternating between Boy and Bowie. Monday mornings tend to be congenitally grim, but yesterday was especially grim as we heard the tragic news. We discovered that David Cameron was still alive, despite a newsreader accidentally announcing that David Cameron had died. How quickly we were catapulted through the emotions, from joy to disbelief, when her mistake was instantly corrected, and we discovered that the dead person was actually David Bowie.
Right now, 8:30, here's the latest.
From Global's newsroom, I'm Fiona Winchester. David Cameron has died. David Bowie has died after a secret 18-month battle.
The reason for her confusion was seemingly down to the fact that she was reading the line below the one that she was meant to be reading, which was a statement from David Cameron about Bowie. Obviously, when you think of Bowie, you naturally think of Cameron. I suppose the two have just always been invariably linked together. Bowie, Cameron, Bowie. They have been synonymous with each other for, well, as long as I can remember. So it seemed only natural and right that David Cameron should offer up some words about Bowie. He said he was a master of reinvention who kept getting it right. That's what David Cameron said whilst wiping the tears away from his red raw eyes. Then he realised that he'd actually never heard a David Bowie song in his entire life. Suddenly he began to panic. He knew it was only a matter of minutes before he started getting phone calls from journalists asking him awkward Bowie-related questions. He shuddered at the memory of the last time that he tried to appear normal, as if he was just like one of those members of the public that he loathed so much. He didn't want a repeat of the Aston Villa-West Ham debacle, but he knew that he'd opened up a potential can of worms with this pro-boy proclamation. In a panic, he grabbed the phone, intending to call one of his advisors to prime him on as many boy facts as he could. Cameron was getting smarter and better at this sincerity game. He knew that it wouldn't be enough to simply have his head stuffed full of facts. He needed to assimilate emotion too. How did Bowie's music make people feel? What might a normal David Cameron in a parallel universe have felt when listening to Bowie growing up, which this David Cameron in this universe certainly had never done? Then he had a vague memory of something he'd heard from someone somewhere once. When he thought of the word universe, it had sparked it off. Oh yes, he was starting to remember. Didn't David Bowie sing something about space? Yes, brilliant! He'd remember that for later, in case a journalist cornered him, catching him unaware. But he'd need more information than that. He grabbed the receiver, ready to dial one of his advisors. But before his fingers pressed the first button, he realised that there was someone else on the line. Shit. He knew it would be a journalist. Someone who didn't like him on the switchboard must have put them straight through without warning him. He wrestled with names in his head, trying to figure out who on the switchboard might hate him, but that just made his head hurt. Too much information. Brain overload. Hello? Cameron offered, tentatively. What's your favourite Bowie song, Mr. Prime Minister? Came the voice. His brain began to fizz. His heart beat faster and faster. His breath grew shallow. Desperately, he reached for his computer. If he could just stall for a while until he found Bowie's Wikipedia page. Sorry, it's a bad line. What did you say? What's your favourite Bowie song, Prime Minister? His hands were shaking so much that he accidentally started typing boobies instead of Bowie. Instantly, his internet history tabs began lighting up. He thought he'd deleted all that stuff. His wife had been furious when she'd found out all the filthy things that he'd been looking at. And no amount of telling her to calm down, dear, had helped placate her. His hands began to shake even more. The voice on the phone was speaking again. Mr. Cameron, I said, what's your favourite Bowie song? One of the ones you used to listen to when you were growing up, maybe? His hands were shaking so much that he accidentally clicked on one of his internet history links. It was that blog from that folk singer that he'd accidentally stumbled across when he'd spent the entire day looking at Mongolian lesbian sex scenes. If you didn't listen to yesterday's dollop, then you'll have no idea what I'm talking about. That'll mean nothing to you, but trust me, there'll be people who did listen to yesterday's podcast now who'll be in hysterics with laughter. The voice came again, more insistent. His hands were shaking too much to type in the words he needed in order to reach the Wikipedia page. In a mad panic, he shouted down the phone. That one about space! The one about space! You know the one. I loved it. Still do. I was listening to it only yesterday, actually. Love the chorus. Very, very catchy. Shit, why did he always have to overcomplicate things by adding extra bits of information? He didn't even know if the song about space even had a chorus. He had no idea. The person on the other end of the phone laughed derisively. Instantly, relief flooded his whole body. It was okay. It was Rebecca Brooks. It was only Rebecca. Dear Rebecca. And he and her were best of friends. I mean, there'd been that weird period in their friendship when she'd been hanging out with Tony Blair as well, but that was all in the past now. He knew he was safe. He let out an audible sigh of relief. Good luck, David, she giggled and hung up. Phew, that could have been a disaster. His hands, now steady, found the Wikipedia page. He then logged into his Spotify account. He pressed play on David Bowie's page, called his people to get them to postpone the morning's appointments, and prepared to assimilate information. He might get away with this yet. Rest in peace, David Bowie. Rest in peace also, David Bowie. Ashes to ashes, funk to funky. Oh, and just for the record, the best David Bowie song is clearly The Laughing Gnome. But that one about space is pretty good too. You're right, Mr. Cameron. Let's have a little bit of The Laughing Gnome to sing us out with. I'll be back tomorrow for Dollop 13. Unlucky. Unlucky for some. Will it be unlucky for me? Will it be the one that I just can't think of anything to say at all? We'll find out. Back tomorrow.
I was walking down the high street when I heard footsteps behind me. And there was a little old man with a scarlet and grey, chuckling away. Well, he trotted back to my house, and he sat beside the telly, with his tiny hands on his tummy, chuckling away, laughing all day. Oh, to report you to the gnome office.
Gnome office.
I'm a laughing gnome and you can't catch me. I'm a laughing gnome and you can't catch me. Said the laughing gnome. Well, I gave him roasted toadstools and a glass of dandelion wine. Then I put him on a train to Eastbourne, carried his bag and gave him a fag.
Have you got a light, boy?
Yeah, where do you come from?
No man's land.
Oh, really? In the morning, when I woke up, he was sitting on the edge of my bed with his brother whose name was Fred. He brought him along to sing me a song. All right, let's hear it. Yeah, what's that clicking noise?
That's Fred. He's a retro
I'm a laughing gnome and you can't catch me. I'm a laughing gnome and you can't catch me. Haven't you got a gnome to go to?
No, we're nomads.
Didn't they teach you to get your hair cut at school? You look like a rolling gnome.
Yeah, not at the London School of Economics.
Now they're staying up the chimney, and we're living on caviar and honey. Cause they're earning me lots of money, fighting comedy pros for radio shows. It's the gnome service, of course.
Oh,
dearie. The laughing gnome, and you can't catch me.